I'm Mike Vardy, and this is the Productivityist Podcast. On this episode of the Productivityist Podcast, I speak with Anthony Ungaro. Anthony is the founder of Break the Twitch and the author of the book Break the Twitch, A Practical Guide to Minimalism and Intentional Living. We talk about the idea of impulsiveness and how that can affect your personal productivity. We talk about what the Twitch is and you know, how he was able to break it and, you know, what you can do to kind of avoid, dealing with the Twitch or at least falling victim to the Twitch. And we're also going to talk about why it's not always just about the couch. You'll have to listen to figure out what I mean by that. Let's get into the conversation I have with Anthony Ungaro here on the Productivityist Podcast. I'd like to welcome Anthony Ungaro to the Productivityist Podcast. Anthony, how's it going?
Hey, it's going well. Thanks for having me.
You know, it's been as we record this, we were just talking about how like far ahead and how proactive I'm being with the podcast this year more than in years past. It seems like every year I get that much more proactive because I want to make sure that in case I get pulled away by something or in case something happens, I don't run into any issues. And so one of the things that I want to talk to you about is you know, having things in place, because you have a site called Break the Twitch, and I want to get to what that means exactly. But I think we're going to be able to do that hopefully through this segue where it's like, okay, the things that pull you away from the things that really matter. Like today, as I'm recording with you, it's my audio video day. It's my themed day to do audio and video. And I made a concerted effort to say, hey, let's fill that time that was left open by another guest who happened to cancel with you. Because I know we wanted to talk. If I had left that open, I'd be the chances of me sticking to my schedule and my plan are greater because of the theme days, but a lot of people don't have that in place and they end up doing something that they don't necessarily want to be doing because of the short-term fix. And that's kind of the Twitch in some respects, isn't it?
Definitely. I mean, I think it shows up in a lot of different ways. Really, the Twitch is anything that comes into your brain and makes you want to go check something whenever you're trying to focus on something that's really important to you, or not even really important, but something you just need to get done, need to focus on. It's those little things like checking social media, like getting that idea or seeing an ad for something on Amazon and going and doing the one-click purchase. It's all those little things that show up in a way that isn't really a productive form of using our time.
So how did you discover the Twitch? And then how do you help people break the Twitch?
Both great questions. So I discovered the Twitch, or came up with this concept, the idea of the Twitch, when one day I pulled 4 years of my Amazon.com spending. I had seen a pattern of brown boxes showing up at the house, lots of low-cost small purchases. And I pulled 4 years of spending and I saw the total amount. It came out to like $12,000. Now, considering that a lot of people get every household item and all the things they ever get from Amazon these days, maybe that's not that much. But for me, as a young person in my early 20s, that was a lot of money to spend in 4 years. And so I looked at that and I saw that all of these small, mindless actions, these little physical twitches of just hitting that one-click purchase button without really considering the implications, the intention behind it, they were adding up to a massive amount of impact. So I started to realize that if we can have such a large impact by spending small amounts of money lots of times in a row, we can have a really big impact by setting out our intentions on a daily basis and having those add up in a positive way instead. So that's where this idea of the Twitch, like it's like a physical reaction. It's a habit that we do that is more of that just movement than it is something we actually want for ourselves.
So how do you help people break that? Because there are so many triggers in the way. It's funny because a trigger for me is something that incites action. And a trigger can be both good and bad, but the Twitch sounds like it's always bad, or it's always, or at least it's perceived that way. Maybe is there a way to kind of turn the Twitch on its ear a bit?
Definitely. I think for some ways, I don't want to say that impulse, right? Impulse is a bad thing. I think impulse is a very good thing. It's built into us in a lot of ways. And it can be very helpful in a lot of ways. Sometimes spontaneity is a wonderful thing too. So I'm not saying that spontaneity or impulsiveness are always bad. What I mean specifically is, like, let's take Twitter, for example. Twitter is a lot of fun for a lot of people. It's a lot of fun to interact with people. I've met so many people. One time I went to a wedding of a person that I initially met on Twitter. I didn't know anyone in person other than the bride and groom. And when I got to the wedding, I knew a third of the people there because of our interactions on Twitter. So there are wonderful experiences that come from tools like Twitter. Like, Amazon has saved me a lot of time. I get books that I want without having to go out. You know, there's a lot of great things, and all these things are just tools, but they are built in a way that sort of ramps up this habitual addiction to using them. And so it's a matter of using them in a balanced way. And I focus on three things when I talk about how to break the Twitch. Focus on minimalism, which is removing distractions; habits, which is daily action. So it's small things you do every day that aren't the Twitch, that are actually what you want to be doing. And then creativity. And I speak about creativity in terms of creative living. So I think Elizabeth Gilbert said, creative living is living based more on curiosity than fear. And that's the definition that I use. I think everyone is creative. And so when we minimize distractions, we create the space to start doing the things we really care about every day. And then we have this huge opportunity to use that space, that platform we build with our habits, to do something creative, to really output, to take some chances, to do things we might not normally do, and create some opportunities for ourselves that we might not normally have either.
So let's talk about the idea of you know, minimalism and how that can impact it. So, I mean, minimalism is a real big buzzword, right? You know, totally. I mean, there's the movie Minimalism, you know, which you know, people, you know, Joshua and Ryan, who we know, put that together, and some of our mutual friends are actually in that film that are into the minimal. I guess to say the minimalist lifestyle would be the best way to put it. Mm-hmm. But I think, do you think that minimalism is kind of, it's one of those things where people they tend to get turned off by it at this point because of the, you know, it's how it's being portrayed, and if so, how do you portray it in the instance of being able to break the Twitch?
Well, I think that minimalism is another word for simple living. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of the time, and what you'll see a little bit of in the minimalism documentary, is minimalism as an aesthetic almost, where it's like a single picture on a white wall, or like all white everything, you know, in the place, or on Instagram, you'll see the pictures of like, oh, hashtag minimalism, and it's a big picture window with an amazing all white linen bedspread and perfect sunlight and a cup of tea. It's like, okay, calm down, you know, like, calm down, everybody. Those are beautiful images, and I see those as artwork in themselves. People curate their lives in a way that is art. But what I talk about, how I talk about minimalism, is how I live it, which is practical minimalism. Joshua Becker, my friend from Becoming Minimalist, who obviously you're friends with as well, you know, he talks about it in terms of rational minimalism, and it's basically the intentional promotion of the things most important to you and the demotion or removal of everything that gets in its way. And to me, under that pretense, why wouldn't everyone be a minimalist, right? It's like minimalism should not be a sacrifice. You're letting go of the things that get rid of that create the space, really, for you to have more of what you want, and to have the space to actually give other people what they want too, and actually contribute in different ways. And so it's this very I don't know. It is a buzzword right now. And I think it will continue to be for a while because the benefits are real. I mean, it's definitely a beneficial thing. So anytime you remove distractions, you know, you're going to have room for the stuff that matters.
Well, and that's the thing is a lot of people, they don't define what their distractions are either. A lot of people say distractions just come out of nowhere, but a lot of cases, distractions are right there in front of you the whole time. You know, working from home could be a real distraction because you've got things there that blend into your personal life and aren't necessarily related to work life. We talked about that when we were at the Tribe conference, but I want to talk about your couch or your lack thereof. That was mentioned mm-hmm. in an article, which you're going to link to. There's two things I want to talk about. First off, you know, what did that article, did that, again, when we talk about the media talking about this kind of thing, how do you feel it portrayed you? And then also, when you are, you're married, I met your wife, Amy, amazing, amazing woman. Much like my wife, incredibly supportive, against all odds in a lot of ways. But how do you,
well, when you put it like that,
yeah, but I mean, the thing is that you, I mean, when you said, hey, I'm going to break the trip. So we'll talk about the article first and then I want to, let's dive into that. And then I want to talk about like living, with how you were able to cohabitate and live together with this idea of the Twitch, kind of being your and breaking it being your purpose. But let's dive into the article first.
Yeah, definitely. So it was really interesting. This the reporter Ali was really incredible. We sat down for maybe an hour or two, even just discussing everything about my perspective about minimalism and all these different things. And you know, I made this comment about how we have a family room in our finished basement. You know, we have a relatively medium-sized house, I think, about 1,200 square feet. So maybe that's small for some places and maybe that's big for others. But for us, it's just the right about the right amount of house for us. And we've been able to use it well. But we have a finished basement that's included in that square footage. And there's a couch and sort of a sitting area and a family room down in that area. And I said, because we have a couch down in our family room and I use our living room more like an office, we don't have a couch in our living room. We do have just like a kind of a love seat kind of thing, but not a formal couch. And it sort of became this big headline because my wife and I also share a car. We live in the city, mm-hmm. so it's really unnecessary. And it's really unnecessary. Like it would literally just collect dust. We just don't need a second car. So the big headline became no couch, one car, how these Minnesotans are living with less. And it was a great article. You know, it got into all of this stuff, but the comments were hilarious because everyone took that as like, oh, wow, only one car. What a sacrifice. And obviously they were kind of teasing or joking about that, but it got to this point where people were saying, I would never not have a couch, you know, all this stuff. And it's like, I wish I could talk to people directly. I didn't take the time to respond to the comments on the news site because I just felt like it would be a never ending
right.
trap.
Yeah, but, Don't feed the trolls in a manner.
Don't feed the trolls. But, you know, I wanted to just go to them and say, it's not about the couch. I'm not asking you to get rid of your couch. It minimalism is not a sacrifice. Like, we have one car because we have a lot more money not having to own and maintain two cars, and we don't need one anyway. It's literally just like, let's focus on your individual life. Let's focus on the life you actually want to be living. So let's say you want to travel more and you're currently paying $500 a month between insurance, gas, and payment for a second car that gets used once a week. Like, let's just make some clear decisions here about how we can minimize quote unquote distractions, right? Or our lifestyle in a way that allows us to do the things we want, right? Mm-hmm. Which is travel more. And so that's what we did. And you getting rid of your couch will not unlock an amazing life. You know, it's just like, it's a lot more convenient for me to work from my office in the living room because we don't have a huge house and we don't have kids. So it just works,
right.
You know, it works out really well. So I think that's kind of the point that I really wanted to get across with all of it. I don't know that got across, But, you know, the same stuff applies to your working environment and to how you focus on what's in front of you. If you want to be a writer, you got to write. If you want to be a podcaster, you got to podcast. But if you're constantly getting distracted by Twitter, by Facebook, by little things around the house while you're trying to do that in your focus sort of flow session, you're hurting yourself. You know, it's not going to go as well. That's just a fact.
All right, so let's get back to your wife, Amy, and how does that, I mean, you must have similar sensibilities, or at least there must be some sense of give and take. Well, there always isn't a marriage, but with this particular thing, because to be able to say, you know, to go from, you know, here's how much I'm bringing in from Amazon every month to we even though it's not about the couch, to, let's just have one couch. How did that work, and how does that continue to work in your relationship? Because it's got to be, I mean, I know that, you know, right now, as we're recording this, I've made the shift to a largely plant-based diet, right? Where very little, mm-hmm. I got, you know, my wife is quick to point out that I'm not vegan because we haven't thrown out clothes and things like that, which is fine.
But, but I didn't know that was a thing.
Apparently it is, right? So, but it's taking effort, and but she's embraced it. She picked up, I mean, I didn't ask her to do this, vegan mayonnaise. Didn't even know it was a thing. And there's a jar of it in the fridge. So, how are you able to kind of, how do you guys navigate this, as you continue down this journey of breaking Twitches left, right, and center?
That's a great question. And what I'll say right off the bat is that, my wife and I have always sort of been in we've sort of played our roles in our own relationship, where I definitely am one that takes different risks, takes sort of things. She's always been more fiscally conservative. And so we definitely play very important roles in our relationship. And she's wonderful in that, you know, we have both sort of, the answer to this is to spend 4 years like heavily looking at life together, making decisions about what matters, having hard conversations about what we both want and how that aligns and how that looks together over the next 10, 20, 30 years. We've been together for 10 years now. And then slowly and steadily implement those changes and make sure that the path still aligns with the one you created together. I think that's like the true answer to all of this is she was very happy to hear that I was interested in spending less money on Amazon. So that was a win right off the bat.
Right.
She wasn't gonna, argue with that. But I will say she was a little resistant to the whole idea of minimalism, right? She grew up, she's culturally Taiwanese. She was born in Taiwan and moved to California when she was 6 months old. So she's very much American because she spent her whole life in the U.S. But we were raised culturally very differently in that sense because of our parents and things like that. And so we have different values about what matters, about financial security, about different things. And so when we were starting to, we met Joel Zaslavsky, mm-hmm. And went to his conference, Simple Rev, which is where I heard you speak for the first time, actually.
Right.
We met. Yep. We, I don't know that we
I don't
met
think we met.
The time, but
I don't think we met. But yeah, it was the first time. Yeah, it was my only time in Minneapolis so far, Minneapolis, St. Paul. But yeah, I spoke at the first one. And it's no longer, it was really cool. I mean, that's where I first met. Well, I don't think I first met Joshua there, but we had a chance to chat some more. And there was a lot of cool people. I got to see my friend Patrick Roan, met a lot mm-hmm. of cool people there. But yeah, so you're saying Joel's a mutual friend of ours.
Yep. So Joel, who was running that event, we both showed up to that, and that was the thing that changed. I think it was an element of hearing from Joshua, hearing from you, hearing from Ethan, who talked about his experience living in a tiny home. And we're not interested, at least at this point in our lives, we're not interested in moving into a tiny home. We're not interested in selling everything we own. We love our home. And so we don't want to sell everything we own and backpack Europe. Hey, maybe in 5 years. I don't know. We're not sure if we're going to have kids. We probably will, but there are all these sort of things that kind of work in. And it was that event realizing that, you know what, we're not leveraging our assets in a way that really reflects our values and really reflects what we want out of life. And it was that experience that where we both just got on board. We started playing Min's game, and this is more on the physical possessions side of things, of owning a lot of stuff you don't need. We started playing Min's game, where you get rid of one thing on the first day of the month, two things on the second, three on the third. We did that like 3 months in a row, got rid of thousands of things. And what's just so funny to me is that our house didn't feel cluttered. You'd come over to our house, it would look like any other, you know, kind of house. Yeah, kind of knickknacks around, stuff like that. But stuff just kept coming out of the woodwork. And even today, we're just like, man, we need to get rid of some more stuff, you know? And it's like, because the purpose, how our house serves us, changes, you know, how our house serves other people when they come over is different. And so as that purpose changes, we look to utilize our stuff to serve people in that way. So
let's talk a little bit about the book before we wrap up. The book is now in, as of right now, you could order pre-order as this episode airs. What do you talk about in the book, and how can the book help people break the twitch?
Definitely. So this is the self-titled book. It's called Break the Twitch, A Practical Guide to Minimalism and Intentional Living. And in this book, I talk about two core concepts. One is the twitch, which we've already talked about. And I go into everything I've learned over the last 3 years of writing about the twitch, of exploring it in my own life and the lives of others, and really condensing it into just a few core strategies of how to create that space in your life, and how to do more of the things that you actually want to do instead of bouncing around and doing all these other kind of distraction type things. And then the other concept I cover is called something called the false first step. And that's something I came up with as well, that is basically a lot of what I was doing on Amazon for all those years. The false first step is the buying a magical pair of running shoes before we even step outside to go running. You know, it's like, hey, it's the whole idea of like, we affirm us saying, hey, I'm going to start running tomorrow. It's just a more expensive way of saying that.
Right.
Really.
Right.
Now, if you have a running habit and you've been running for 6 months and boom, it's time for some new shoes. I'm not saying don't ever buy anything. You know, again, I'm taking very balanced approach to this, but, that's the concept. It's do YouTube yoga videos for 30 days before you start buying the foam block and the stretchy yoga pants and the rollout mat and all those things that will help, but aren't going to get you stretching.
Right, right. That book is available at breakthetwitch.com. Where else can people find you online so that way they can learn more about what you do, as well as have the support they need to avoid that false first step and break the twitch? By the way, the members only bonus episode for this podcast, we're going to dive a little bit into the false first step and maybe some steps that you can take that aren't so false to help you start breaking the twitch today. So Anthony, where else can people find you?
So I am online everywhere at Break the Twitch, all one word. That's on Instagram, Twitter, and on Facebook as well. And you can sign up for my newsletter at breakthetwitch.com/newsletter. And just as a note, anyone that pre-orders the book, because it actually comes out December 9th, anyone that pre-orders the book is going to get a 5-episode mini video series as well with it, and some worksheets to go along with the book. So
awesome. Anthony, thanks for joining me today. Really appreciate it.
Thanks a lot, Mike. Appreciate it.
And so there you go. Great conversation with my friend Anthony. Thanks so much to him for joining me today. You can learn all about what we discussed. If you want to dive deeper into how you could break the twitch, just look at the show notes for this episode, which you could find in your podcast player of choice, as well as over at the Productivityist website. Just go to the podcast link and it'll be the most recent episode. If you're listening to this episode, if not, just search for Anthony Ungaro and you'll find it there. Now, if you want to get more content, like if you want to dive deeper into this, and we have some tactical strategies that you could take on so you could start breaking the Twitch today, we offer that in the members only episode. Now head over to productivityist.com/membership to learn more about that, because there's a lot of great benefits to becoming a member of the Productivityist community. We're just getting started with it. It's just warming up. You can learn more. Again, go to productivityist.com/membership. And I'd love to see you there and become part of that community. Thanks to John Polster for joining me this week on the show as producer. Thanks to my team for helping putting all of this stuff together. And thanks to you for listening. Until next time, I'm Mike Vardy, the host of the Productivityist podcast and founder of Productivityist, reminding you to stop guessing and start going.